everybody. Welcome to another scintillating episode of Magic the Amateuring. I'm assuming it'll be scintillating. It has not happened yet.
But we sure have high hopes for it.
Oh, I have extremely high hopes.
Also, props on the word scintillating.
Thank you.
It's not just British people who get to use fancy words.
No.
We get to use them too.
And I've tried to assure that this show will be scintillating, not only because of its content. We're going to talk about Cons of Tarkir. We're going to talk about M15. What's up with that? We're talking about cantrips. Great stuff.
Have we told people what this is yet?
Well, yeah, but I just had to enumerate.
Okay, keep going.
That all of those things are scintillating. But also, yes. I have turned up the heat in this house to 96 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, why?
Because it's going to be scintillating in here. And I also brought in some hot rocks, which we're going to pour water on for a sauna.
So we're recording inside a sauna.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, this is Magic the Amateuring. We're a podcast for people who like Magic the Gathering, new players, or people returning to the game. And that's that. My name's Megan.
My name's Maria. We learned to play about a year and a half ago, a little more than that now. And we are still consider ourselves amateurs, but we have somebody who is definitely not an amateur helping us out with the show today. Friend of the show, pro player, Matthias Hunwell.
Hey there, guys. How's it going?
You know, I
just realized that all of our names start with M. That's ridiculous.
Oh, man.
So, what are the chances?
Yeah, today we're TA cast.
Oh, nice. Ooh.
There we go. You are all welcome for that portmanteau of a sound and an acronym.
Before we get started with the show, I just want to mention that we do have a new episode of My Roommate is a Planeswalker going up on YouTube today.
Ooh.
If you want to see Megan as Chandra, myself as Liliana, and Ben as Jace, go and check it out. You can get to it through our website, magictheamateuring.com. It's good for a laugh or two. And also, before we begin, I want to put out a little PSA. We're all going to be at GP Portland coming up.
Oh yeah!
At this weekend.
Yeah, it's this coming weekend.
Oh, I'm so excited! Are you going, Matthias?
I'm also going. Yeah, it's really exciting. I mean, I wasn't at the Pro Tour this time in Portland, but I'm going to go ahead and come to the GP the next weekend, meeting up with some friends there, and it's going to be a blast. Team GPs are the most fun.
Tell us about why they're the most fun.
I really like Team GPs for the reason that, first of all, you're hanging out with your friends the entire time, which can be awesome, can also be super stressful, but is because sometimes people disagree about what decision should be made in a situation.
Yeah.
No, it's actually really fun. I think more than the actual event, one of the things I like is there's this culture, at least at the Team GPs I've been to, of team drafting, which is something that used to happen always on day two of Team GPs. Now it's only in the top four, but it's kind of like, it's this side draft thing where, you know, three of you guys play against three of your opponents, and it's, you know, there's a lot of friendly competition that goes on at these Grand Prix after the events, you know, like after the last one is finished. A lot of people want to see how they size up against another three people. Like a lot of times we'll try to play another pro team of three, or sometimes you'll get people, you know, who want to, you know, a guy and two of his friends want to see if they can take down a team of three pros, or you'll get to meet people from another country. It's really cool.
And so what are the stakes in these games?
Well,
honor, glory, cards?
Salt, a block
you
of
should
salt?
If so you like should usually expect, at the very least, if you're playing, because you don't want people rare drafting in your team draft, because that's no fun, right?
Yeah.
You want to be playing to win. So you should usually, if you're challenging another team to a team draft, you should expect that the team that wins the team draft keeps all of the cards from the draft.
What?
So that's usually what you're playing for.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, so when you lose, it's like, okay, well, I did bring three boosters, but I did get like 3 hours of fun. And when you win, it's the sweetest thing ever, because you just get this pile of rares.
I did get 3 hours of fun.
Yes.
That should be like Magic's motto. Even if I lose, I did get 3 hours of fun.
I got 3 hours of fun.
If you stay in every round, you can have more than 3 hours of fun at a tournament.
We'll see. Megan's hardcore, so she's going to crack the whip.
We're playing all of the rounds. We paid. We're playing.
The last Team GP I did, actually, this was like a sweeter story, right? So it was an 11-round Grand Prix because they had no cap on rounds day one. I was playing with my roommate Kyle Stoll and Andres Pros, who's from Alaska/Latvia/who knows. But and we had two buys, so we started round three, then we lost round three. and then we won round four, and then we lost round five, and three losses eliminate you. And everyone's like, can we go home? This sucks. We lost both our rounds 0-3, and I think the one we won was 2-1. So we're like 2-7 in matches. And I was like, no, we're going to have to play all of them. And everybody was super worried that we were going to, because we started winning, they were like, man, we're going to win five rounds and then like lose round eight or something annoying. And then we could have, you know, gone and seen the city or done something else. We ended up winning every single round on day one, and we made day two. It was pretty sweet.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I think it was seven straight rounds or something.
So you guys, never give up. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around.
Angel and forget you.
To be fair, that's probably the wrong decision. Like, the number of times, if I run that every tournament, I probably end up not day twoing like almost every time.
Question.
But that time you did.
That time, yeah, that one time justifies making that decision every time.
I want to know if after hours there's such a thing as a hot tub draft.
I think you should pioneer a hot tub draft. If you can find a hot tub, I am sure you could get a hot tub draft.
Because I've been dreaming about this for several weeks now.
Maria,
what?
Look, I'm going to bring us down to earth with some practical concerns.
What possibly could go wrong?
You're right. Nothing. Never mind. Keep talking.
Anybody wants a hot tub draft with Team MTA Cast GP Portland? Just come up to us and say hi, and okay. we'll get you in.
I think it should be noted that I actually can't sit in hot tubs. I will sit adjacent to the hot tub.
So you can have an adjacent to hot tub draft?
I will be adjacent. I will be hot tub adjacent.
You're really missing out.
No, they just make me really lightheaded.
Oh, okay. Well, then your picks are going to be amazing. For the noobs, cantrips.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cantrips. Can you handle this information?
We're going to take a trip through Information Town and find out.
What the heck is a cantrip? Somebody tell me.
Matthias.
All right. Well, a cantrip, there's a history of these in Magic. They are spells that generally replace themselves. They say draw a card on. The simplest kind would be ones that say draw a card. And usually when you talk about cantrips, at least in tournament Magic, you talk about things that cost one or two mana and they do something really little and then they say draw a card.
Why is it called a cantrip?
That's a great question that I don't have the answer to. Though once I did play a game of Scrabble and I just put down cantrip as a seven-letter word and then my opponent challenged it and then it was in the dictionary and
it was there.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is actually a word. I have no idea what it means.
So hold this microphone. I'm going to look it up.
We're consulting the Oracle.
You can play
Google.
It in Scrabble. And it was worth like 50, with seven letters, so it was 50 bonus points.
I want the
points.
Origin, Megan, and I want you to use it in a sentence that's not magic related. That's
okay, well, I'm working on it.
Have you ever been a part of a spelling and or geography bee?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
did you, in grade school. Did you win?
I didn't win.
Okay. So cantrips, as Megan looks up the true definition, why are they so good if they're just replacing themselves? Wouldn't you rather just have another card in there?
Well, so what they do is they basically give you something for free. Like, let's say there was a card that cost zero mana and said, gain one life, draw a card, right?
Yeah.
This would be a really great magic card because there'd be actual no cost to playing it. You'd just be like, oh, hey, yeah, I'll have another life. And then you just would draw a card and it'd be great. So cantrips, okay, they don't cost zero. So there's a slight investment, but a lot of times you just have like an extra mana sitting around in a game of magic anyway. So if you can do something small, that's usually worth it. There were some, I think, in Shadowmoor that they had a whole set of them. There's one in each color, and it would be like the white one was like, tap a creature, draw a card for one mana. You'd be like, okay, well, that's small, but hey, my opponent's going to attack me this turn. I'll tap his creature, draw a card. And it's like, well, that was probably worth it, right?
Sure. Yeah, that sounds worth it.
Yeah, that was like pretty good. So there was a whole set of them at the time.
But would you play a card that just said draw a card?
So here's an interesting thing. They actually put that to a test. There's this card in Ice Age called Urza's Bauble, and it costs zero. And you sacrifice it, and you can look at a random card from your opponent's hand.
Ugh.
And then at the beginning of the next turn, you draw a card.
Oh, okay.
So.
And how was this card?
You don't play it, even though you're like, wow, but it's just a free card. The fact that you had to wait a turn to draw it was like probably a bigger drawback than the advantage you gained from looking at a random card in their hand.
What if it said, just draw a card, period?
Yeah, I'd probably play it.
You'd why play wouldn't, a card why wouldn't that just you? Said draw a card.
For zero? Yeah, I can build a 56-card deck now. Yeah, I'll just put four of those in it. This is great.
But my question is, why wouldn't you just rather have a card that was better than that? Like the card that you want to draw with the draw card? Am I making sense?
Well, like, so if it actually cycle, if you actually get another card for paying nothing, then it's like you already drew that other card, right? And you're, whatever small effect you're getting, you're just getting that advantage for free. So that's probably fine. In fact, these cards are strong enough that early on in Magic, they screwed up with how good they are. When you see cards like Ponder and Preordain, which they had to ban out of Modern, it's because those cards are actually insane.
And Ponder does.
Ponder lets you look at the top three cards of your deck, and you can either rearrange them or shuffle your deck. And when you're done doing whichever one you picked, you draw a card. And it's one blue mana.
Whoa.
You guys, I got to play that in a Pauper draft I did the other day. It was amazing. I loved it.
Yeah. And what was Preordain, you said?
Preordain, you scry two and then draw a card.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're not actually super good in Limited. At least cards like Ponder aren't.
Yeah.
But in formats where it's like, you really need one card, like Ponder actually looks at four cards for you. And you, if one of those four cards is the card you actually want, well, then it's very good.
From what I heard, it enabled a lot of different like Storm or combo type decks, because those decks need a lot of card selection. And it provides just like a really sweet card selection.
Yeah, I mean, the problem in Modern right now with the really fast combo decks is you kind of just have to draw your combo if you want to combo quickly. But if you have Ponder and Preordain, you can just assemble your combo really fast. They're so powerful.
Sweet.
Have you found the definition?
Okay. Cantrip is a word of Scots origin.
What?
I know.
It does sound Scottish.
To mean a magical spell of any kind, or one which reads the same forwards and backwards.
What?
Whoa.
It can also be a witch's trick or a sham. It is possibly derived from the Gaelic cantera, whatever, a piper's mnemonic chant.
I'll you know never what think I'm of cantrips say? The same. Like, this
I'm gonna,
is great.
Anytime I'm like, this is a sham, I'm going to be like, no, this is a cantrip.
This is a cantrip.
A witch's trick.
What a witch's trick. Yep, so the Merriam-Webster definition is chiefly Scottish, a witch's trick. Chiefly British, hocus pocus.
So
it's not... the actual definition has nothing to do with like getting value for
it. No, it just has to do with spells. Cards.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Okay, here we go. The term... This is from the MTG Salvation Wiki. Let's see. The term originated from a Dungeons & Dragons slang for a spell with a minor effect.
Oh.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Yeah. They don't make them very much anymore. They're pretty good.
And they called those ones in Ice Age slow trips.
Yeah, you the guys ones that say, instead of saying draw a card, if they say draw a card at the beginning of the next upkeep, those are called slow trips.
Nice.
Because they're cantrips, but they're slow at drawing a card.
I feel like there were a reasonable... Like, there were some in Journey into Nyx. Didn't each color have one? Black had one in a black, mm-hmm. plus one, plus O.
Yeah, there was a set of aura cantrips. It was like Scourge Mark, Fate Foretold, Chosen by Heliod. If you think about those cards, like, you wouldn't ever play an aura that's like... It doesn't matter how much it costs. You wouldn't play an aura that just gave a guy plus O plus two.
No.
Like, that's just not good enough.
No.
But when you can get a card off it, you're like, well, okay, I can buy some time. I can do this.
And we have one now in M15 with, what is it? Derp. It costs four. It's green. And it's a 2/2, and it comes in and you draw a card.
Oh, yeah. Shaman of Spring.
Oh, Shaman of Spring.
Yes.
Is that still considered a cantrip if it's a creature?
You could still consider it a cantrip. Yeah, I think the term's generic enough. Like, you're playing a 4-mana 2/2, right? No one would just, like, pay 4 mana for a 2/2.
No.
That's not good.
Unless it's doing something nice.
Yeah, it doesn't even really have
like
to do...
vacuuming like, my carpet.
The question with a cantrip is whether or not you have time to be doing nothing. Like, it's just good. You're getting a minor effect more or less for free. And as long as you have time to be, like... spending 4 mana on 2/2, like Shaman of Springs is just good. He's all upside.
Yeah. Arguably, you could say that part of what made those Theros block cantrips so playable was all of the heroic effects also in that block. Because it's like, oh, not only am I going to get to draw a card, get some sort of small bonus off of this, but, you know, hopefully I'm also going to be able to trigger some sweet heroic action.
Yeah, so then when the bonus isn't exactly small, that's when the decks really get out of control.
Yeah.
Cantrips, I would say they're almost solely responsible for, like, a lot of storm strategies ever being possible. There's a lot of cards like Jataxian Probe or Mana Morphos that are cantrips and actually don't cost you any mana. And so they just build your storm count for doing nothing.
Sweet. So if I'm looking at just a limited deck, we can talk about this in the context of like Theros or in M15. How much do I want a cantrip?
I want it real bad.
Yeah? Why do you want it real bad?
Okay, hold on. I shouldn't have even said those words.
Nope, they left your mouth.
I can't take it back.
You jumped on that one.
I feel like, okay, am I wrong about M15, let's say, draft or sealed, in that it is not necessarily blazingly fast? I mean, I think you can get a super fast deck.
It's a weird... Sure, you can say... It's like if you can't... It's not slow where, like, in M14, you could just not play creatures at 1, 2, and 3 because no one would kill you. And that's not true. You have to play some creatures. But then, like, the game locks up all the time.
Right, it locks up. And so a creature like Shaman of Spring, I think, is a little better, say, here than if I was playing JBT Draft. I might not want something like that, a 4-mana 2/2 draw card. I'm not sure if I would want that as much.
I think in Journey it was a little better, but, like, talking about, like, Born of the Gods Draft, it's like, man, didn't nobody have time for a 4-mana 2/2 in Born of the Gods?
No way.
You're real dead.
There's kind of another side of a coin to it, too. Like, in M15, if it's actually just this giant wall format, like, you might not want to play Shaman of Spring because, like, does a 2/2 even do anything? Like, sometimes if you're just sitting there staring at each other, like, an extra 2/2's actually, like, the small advantage you're getting just doesn't do a thing.
Yeah.
In which case, well, sure, you can play it, but you probably don't want
to. So what's kind of the ideal situation that you want to be in for utilizing cantrips?
I think it depends on how good the effect is. In draft, you generally, like, you can always play them. They're safe cards. So that's one thing I like about them, is that if you need some playables for your deck, you know, you can always take it and you can always run it. Usually don't take them over a good card, though, because you care, like, you know, if there's a good removal spell, you don't want a cantrip over that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It has to be an effect that your deck is legitimately interested in, I would say. Like, maybe if I was a big Convoke-based green deck, now Shaman of Spring starts to seem really neat to me, because he's not just an extra card, he's like a card and a mana now. So if I have, like, Overwhelm in my deck, for example, like, not only is he a mana that helps me cast, like, some of, like, my living totems and stuff, but now he also gets +3/+3 when I pump my team, so he's a free guy with a ton of upside, and now I'm into playing him.
Nice.
Would you get a tattoo that said, can't trip, but it's on your foot, and so you can't trip over anything?
So you're asking me if I would get a tattoo on my foot that said, can trip, can't trip? I mean, I think the answer is a clear, obviously, yes.
Yes.
Obviously, yep. I would tattoo that on my foot in a heartbeat.
All right, listeners, see you later. We're heading to the tat parlor.
There you go. When you see us at GP Portland, ask us about our sweet cantrip, can't trip tattoos. We'll definitely have them.
One
on
of you
our
could
fate.
Have cantrip and one of you could have can't trip.
And one of us is, who's more clumsy, me or you?
Well, probably you.
Yeah,
sorry.
I was gonna definitely say me.
No, it's definitely
no
you.
Question. So I'll have cantrip and you'll have can't trip, and we'll be like thing one and thing two.
Perfect. Perfect. Listeners, we're gonna bring you a special segment called Can You Do This?
A fun game.
Yes.
Which you can try at home.
This is one that Matthias taught us. Matthias, can you explain what Maria and I are about to try to do?
This has happened when Magic players got very bored. One of them.
We decided we had to bring this to you.
One of them is holding a card horizontal like it's a chopping block, and the other one is trying to use another magic card to see if in one try she can cut through the other magic card with her magic card.
Yeah, so just to be clear, it's you know, it's like thin edge on thin edge.
Yeah. You know. So if you want to impress your party guests, try this trick.
Here we go.
But you got to be good at it. I'm trying to remember what...
Oh, remember, you want to use the short side.
The short side.
Yeah,
okay.
if you're cutting. We can post... Can we post a video of this on YouTube?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm cutting with a Shaman of Spring, by the way.
We will post a video of this for you to watch.
Speaking of cantrips, I feel like it's like karate.
Yeah, I know.
One, two, three.
Ow! Ouch.
Sorry.
It's okay.
One more time.
Here we go.
All right, try two.
Unsuccessful.
Here we go. I got
to
concentrate this time. You hear that?
Yeah, that's an awful
sound.
Two cards
about to get cut.
Oh, man.
Oh,
you got halfway through it.
Halfway through.
Nice. All right, well, listeners, you're real welcome for that segment.
I trust you, it
things
works.
You can do with your leftover,
you know,
draft cards.
We just want to bring you some
exactly
options.
We will post a 15-second YouTube video for you.
We should get on Vine, man.
Yeah, we'll Vine this action. You can look it up.
So, you know, you're welcome for us now giving you something to do.
Yeah.
All day at work.
With
if
all
you
those
have a
shitty
buddy.
Comments.
All those shitty comments. They're not worthless.
Exactly.
You can cut
them in half.
Yep.
Cut them in half.
There you go.
All right. M15. That sure is the set that's happening right now, isn't it?
M15 is happening. Yeah. So, Megan, you've been playing some M15?
Yeah, I sure have been playing some M15. I've been happier than I was the last time we talked about it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, because that was... Last time, all I had was that one real crappy little sealed pool at the pre-release.
Right.
That was disappointing. But since then, I 4-0'd a Moto pre-release,
nice.
Which was real sweet, with a double Cone of Flame, triple Borderland Marauder, and double Inferno Fist.
Yeah.
You guys.
Sounds like my kind of
deck. It was real good. Cone of Flame is sick.
That's really good.
If Cone of Flame was the name of an ice cream cone, you could get... At Ben and Jerry's, would you?
Okay. Is it covered in Red Hots?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm gonna skip. But I would never.
I'm just saying.
I would never pass this card in a draft.
Think about it. M15. I also 4-0'd a sealed online with
nice.
Blue red beats.
Yeah, man.
Quick little beats. Some Frostlings, freeze them out, tempo, and burn them.
Yeah, get the beats on, man.
Yeah. But I do think that what Matthias said earlier, after playing, I mean, I haven't played a huge ton,
mm-hmm,
that the format
mm-hmm.
is very sports stall-y.
It's the only, so I have played, I'm about 4 drafts in.
Yep.
And I am surprised how many times I have games where it's like, I have 6 creatures, my opponent has 4, none of us can attack, and then we just like draw some cards and say go or play some lands, and that happens for about 6 or 7 turns.
Right.
And if you think about it, that never happened in Theros.
No, it didn't.
Just never. Someone won. And so if you tapped at someone, I've started thinking about cards like, huh, would this card be good if I had 6 guys staring at their 5? So then I'm like, hot soup. Bad card. But good in that situation, maybe.
Yeah, that's
I'm
true.
Supposed to play it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So,
do you think you're supposed to play it?
Oh, I hope not. But I mean, so I think my rule of thumb right now has been like, I want to have 6 cards in my deck that I feel like break a board stall. And yeah.
6 cards?
That's about the right number because
okay.
I want to draw like 2 to 3 in a game. So
describe for us the kind of cards that break a board stall.
Okay, so it would have, so let's say something that if I have a bunch of guys staring at yours, then I can start doing something unfair. So like good examples would be like Sanctified Charge or
ooh, yeah.
Sunblade Elf.
Sure.
Things that
ooh.
Just pump your team a bunch.
Yeah.
I think some fine ones would be like Intimidators or Flyers. I think
yeah.
there are some real bad ones you can play, like Carnivorous Moss Beast, where you can feed him 7 mana and he gets an A1/1 counter.
Pump, yeah.
Yeah.
I played a game against Megan where she fed over 50 mana into a Carnivorous Moss Beast.
50 mana?
You guys,
what
nothing...
What are you, a bank?
I know. Well, it was over multiple turns.
Right, at one point, it was sitting there with dice and I was like, I would like you to know that you have now officially spent, I think 48,
it was 48 mana
on that Moss Beast.
Oh my
beast.
God.
It's but okay, I had a Johnny's Pride Mate and 2 Soulmenders going, so it was an arms race.
I guess.
It was insane.
US
there were
and
a lot
Russia
of dice
over there.
Yeah.
Going on.
So it sounds like team pumping effects. What about something like Mass Calcify?
So yeah, Mass Calcify can break a board.
So Mass Calcify is 5 white-white.
7 mana, destroys all non-white creatures.
Yes.
Yes.
So it breaks a board stall unless your opponent's playing white.
Yes.
Good point.
In which case,
that's relevant. That's the thing. So it's like, you have to think, okay, this will usually break a board stall, but also like your creatures have to be white. So if my big, yes. if I'm playing white-green, but all my top end guys are green, then like my Mass Calcify does like, okay, it resets the board. Yeah, I'm gonna leave me with some 1/1s. That's not as cool.
Mm-mm.
So I would play Hot Soup if I was running out of these kind of effects. You know, so I was like, well.
Or Invisibility, how about that? Like, that doesn't seem
right.
That
one seems even worse than Hot Soup.
Really?
I think so. So
because then you just get 2-for-1.
At least Hot Soup, when you kill my creature, I can give it to another guy.
Yeah, more soup. Some other guy carry that soup.
Yeah, if the first guy spills it, the other guy can scoop it up.
Yep.
You know, fill it up.
I have noticed Intimidators just being very good.
Yes, I agree.
Like, usually, mm-hmm. I feel like in M14, like Accursed Spirit, I was like, yeah, Gina, it's a fine card. It's even sometimes a good card. But in M15, I'm just like, it's a good
you
card.
You gotta straight up kill yeah. it.
If I'm playing black, I'm definitely playing an Accursed Spirit.
I actually think, so the flip side of that is a card that really is better than you'd think in the set is Gargoyle Sentinel. Because you
yeah.
can block flyers
right.
and also see he's a robot and you can't intimidate a robot. So he blocks all the Intimidators.
That's why?
That's, yeah, because creatures aren't scared of their own kind. So that's why you can block the same color, and then you can't scare a robot. That's why robots
I've
can block
definitely scared a robot.
You've
you
scared a robot?
Robots can't get scared.
Have you seen me in the morning?
Robots don't feel fear.
Maybe
before
androids.
My diet mode do?
I've also heard that's why, like, Bronze Sable in this set, people are like, yeah, I'll play a Bronze Sable.
He blocks a creature.
Yeah, like,
spirit.
He's like, actually, like, yeah, I'll play
it. He's a 2-mana card that blocks both Krenko's Enforcer and Accursed Spirit, so...
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
there
having some
go.
Of those doesn't
any
seem
flyer,
that bad.
Any flyer mm-hmm. is good, like, you know, we had this argument, sort of not argument, discussion about triplicate spirits, like, why is that good? Because it just makes 3 1/1s, easy enough to deal with. But in this format, like...
That card's probably the best common in the set.
That is not, I mean, that's not bad. Like, flyers
what,
are tough to deal with.
What deals with triplicate spirits? Like, what, you have to
Cone
have your own
flame.
Flyer.
That's
okay.
Like it.
And then you 1-for-1 with, you played, like, your first pick.
Yeah, that's true.
Bomb, and you 1-for-1'd it with my common. Like, okay.
That
good
blows.
Point.
Yep. Like, you got them. They're all dead.
All my stupid
and
one
And I
used
my Cone of Flame on it.
I know. The only answer common that's really good is Fester Gloom, and that card's really not very good.
No. Oh.
But you can play it. If your opponent has, like, 3 triplicate spirits and a Raise the Alarm, you can play Fester Gloom.
Oh, God. Well, there you go.
So how do you feel about the format? Do you like it?
So I always like core set drafting because I'm kind of, like, I feel like when I play it, we get into these board stalls, and what you can, it's, like, you actually have to start thinking about what every single card in your deck is. It's like this puzzle of checkmate, like, checkmate in 8. Can you find it? You know,
the worst feeling is knowing you have absolutely no answer.
Or the best feeling is realizing that your
yes.
opponent has no answers.
Oh, okay.
Like, as you go to game 3, I find that, like, in this format, you learn, like, game 1, if you see 30 cards out of your opponent's deck, like, you can radically sideboard and change your gameplay, and I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the knowing you have no answer, I had the pleasure during a draft the other day of killing someone exclusively with Caustic Tar. I think that card exclusively. I never attacked. I never attacked.
You have the inevitability.
Exactly. And that's just what, talking about M15, Caustic Tar is behind Cone of Flame. I'm not going to say my second favorite uncommon, but it is.
Card's real good.
But it's really good, and
tell
I really like it.
Tell me what
really
it
like
is
it.
Again, please.
It is 6, no, it is 4 black. Enchantment for a, it's an enchantment and it goes on a land. Enchant target land. That land has tap. Is it target player loses 3 life?
Yep, loses
yeah.
3.
So it's not even deals 3 damage. It's target player loses 3 life.
Question. Somebody asked me this recently.
Yeah.
If I'm tapping my land for that effect, does it also produce mana?
No.
Answered.
It now has, think about it, it's a card that has 2 abilities on it. It just, like, right puts that text onto the card. So you can say tap to add a black or tap to deal 3.
It's almost like a planeswalker. I can't
yeah.
both +1 and -1 it. I have to either plus it or minus it.
You guys said it way
ability.
Nicer to them. I just yelled at them. You can't have everything.
But that's also true.
Okay.
You can't have everything. Listeners, remember that.
Yeah, so I guess I got to play with it a little more to see how I feel. Yeah. But I do really enjoy the kind of making a creative deck with Illusory Angel and some cheap artifacts. And
yeah.
The angel's really good.
The 2/3 who gets flying with your artifacts, and which is kind of fun in red because you also have the Scrapyard Mongrel who enjoys artifacts.
Oh, we were talking about that card earlier.
I think that's a definite archetype. Red, blue, artifacts. I think is, and you also get Insol Artifact in it. I think that's just a deck.
You
and
get,
it seems really good.
You get Aeronet Tinkerer.
Yep.
Who's pretty sweet.
Ornithopter.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
So what other archetypes have we seen in this format? There's Green White Convoke.
Yeah. I feel like there's also, like, there's basically, Green White is definitely the biggest Convoke archetype, but there also is a general, like, White X. Because I feel like white-black can also go a little convokey. Because they have, you know, like Covenant of Blood, which is...
Convokey pokey. It's the newest dance craze.
Hey, you guys, you want to go down to the hoedown and do the convokey pokey?
You tap your one soldier dude. You tap your other big worm.
This song is making no sense.
One other land and you get triplicate spirits.
Thank you, yep. Maria.
At GP Portland, I would be pleased if one person would come up to us and do the Convokey Pokey with us, please.
The Convokey Pokey. So there's like, you know, the white X or the white green Convoke. What other archetypes have there been?
Well, there's still probably the old standards, but I don't...
What are those?
The old standbys.
Which are what?
Well, you know, like...
We mentioned red-blue artifacts, which is unique to this, but I feel like there's like a red aggro, like a red X aggro.
Yeah, sure. Red-white eggs. That's your normal jam.
I think you still have a black grindy deck, which is basically, when I say grindy, I mean you slowly get rid of all your opponent's things, and then you have more things than them, and then you kind of just win.
Yeah.
So like Gravedigger would be, that'd be good in your black grindy deck.
He's like the
deck.
Flagship.
Yeah.
And or green-black is... Just the old usual Graveyard Matters.
Yeah, well, it's green black's not always Graveyard Matters. Sometimes green black's just, like, get you on resources.
Oh, okay.
So there's, like, two things. I guess you could do green black where you're just kind of, like, playing, like... You could play, like, black to mill yourself and, like... Or, like, you can just cast a restock, you know? And be like, oh, I'm going to restock getting these two kill spells and kill two more of your creatures. So, like, that's the boring old school black-green. And I think you can still do the self-mill strategy this time around, which is where you're, like, Satyr Wayfinders into Undergrowth Scavengers, and that's way cooler.
Into, like, Unmake the Graves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a guy do that to me at the pre-release. He played this Necromancer stockpile card that looked super bad. It's 2 to play, and it costs 2 to activate, and you discard a creature and draw a card. But if you discarded a zombie, you get a 2/2.
Yes.
And this is, like, in Sealed, which is really funny. So he played that on turn 2, and then he cycled 6 zombies on his next turns, and then he tapped the zombies to start to convoking Unmake the Graves, getting his zombies back, and discarding his zombies again. It was way out of hand.
I feel like Unmake the Graves is a card I would normally not be interested in playing, but I actually think it's good in M15.
Yeah. I don't know that you can just, like, put it in a deck. You can't just, like, have a... You can't have, like, a blue-black deck.
You can just play it.
You think you can just play it?
Okay, like, listen to what... This is my argument.
Oh, no.
Okay, I don't know what I'm talking about, maybe, but because it's so stally, and because, like, oh, I have this one answer, I have this kill spell, whatever, turn to dust or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so I've dealt with what I think I can deal with, and then you do Unmake the Graves, and you get back your Accursed Spirit or your 3/3 flyer, and you're like, well, guess what? You have to deal with both of them again.
That's fair. Which is... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think you hit it exactly on the head. If the format is actually just a complete stall, then those kind of cards get better.
Okay.
But I don't know if every matchup's like that, if every game is going to be a big stall. So in the games where it's not going to be a big... Where the game matchup doesn't stall out, that card's going to be really bad.
I guess I was just thinking of, like... I had a draft deck where I was playing Unmake the Graves, and there was like a game or two where I never hit my Satyr Wayfinder or any of my other stuff that put things into the graveyard, and like that card became significantly worse, even though there were a lot of board stall situations.
Have you gotten a cast Unmake the Graves targeting 2 Gravediggers?
No,
that's
I
really
would.
Fun. That's when you're, yeah, that's when you're up to no good. Your opponent's like, oh my gosh, this is the worst. Or there is the combo. I'm glad that they moved Gravedigger to uncommon. Because there used to be the combo of Gravedigger plus Gravedigger, and that was really annoying to play against. Or fun, depending on whose side you were on.
Nice. So yeah, we'll stay posted with M15, and you guys out there, tell us how you're liking it. Please tweet at us, at MTAcast. Follow us. We'd love to have you in the family. I'm using that term the mafia way. I would love to have you in the family, wink, wink, in our mafia of Magic players on Twitter.
I'm not following what you're saying anymore.
Anyway, tweet us your deck picks. And we'll be like, good job, or boo, horrible job, what have you done, or sideways thumb, medium job.
Yeah.
And just like, let us know how you're liking the format, because we love to hear about that.
Hey guys, we're bringing back a game that we've played once in the past.
Yes.
And Matthias is here. He's gonna host it for us. And this game is called Unplayable or Banned. And it's where Matthias reads us an old card, and we have to guess whether it's so overpowered that it's banned. Is it banned in Modern or banned in Legacy?
Banned in Legacy,
you guys. Abandoned Legacy.
Or if it's so horrible
that it's just completely unplayable.
Yeah, not completely unplayable. Some of the ones that are like not banned are maybe see play in a couple decks, but like not mainstream.
Okay.
And they're all kind of weird effects. So you have to think like, what would this card be at its worst?
So like, we are here being tested on if we can tell the difference between a 10 and a 0.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, but if you guys don't know Legacy, because I know a lot of you don't know the whole Legacy ban list, you can definitely play along.
Okay.
All right. Well, here we go. Right,
so we have five cards today. Okay.
Oh boy.
All right.
First one is called Ill-Gotten Gains.
All right. Okay.
It is a black sorcery. It costs 4 mana, and it said when you play it, you exile the card, then both players discard their entire hand, then both players pick 3 cards up from their graveyard and put them into their hand.
I'm gonna guess.
You have to exile this card so you don't get itself back with it. That's why it exiles.
Okay.
So otherwise you
can. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Are you trying to give us a clue? No clue.
No, I'm just telling you that's why it says exile on it. All right.
So you can't infinite loop it.
I'm going to say this card is banned.
Do
you know why? I'll explain myself.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm either digging myself a hole here or explaining myself like a genius.
We're really going to see which one it is.
Okay. Because so many times I've questioned why cards like both players discard their hands and draw 7 new cards or whatever are any good. What card am I thinking of? Like Wheel of Fortune or Balance?
Is it like Lion's Eye Diamond or some crap like that?
That doesn't draw 7. Memory Jar draws 7.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking.
And I would always say, oh, that card sounds stupid. I don't want to play that. Why would I want to play that? And people always respond to me and say, well, because you are making the decision. You are saying this is when it's happening. And, like, your opponent has no choice. Maybe they have great stuff and you have crap. And I don't know. That's sort of how it's been explained to me. Matthias, you look concerned right now.
No, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
Draw 7s have historically... Like, that was something when they first made Magic. They're like, hey, let's have this cool effect where you get to draw a new hand. And they started printing it, and it was, like, really good. And they made worse versions, and they were really good. And now they just don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to guess banned just because I can see a lot of ways that you can make this broken. Like, maybe cards that have stupid effects when you discard them. Or cards... Yeah. Or you've been putting a lot of sweet, sweet crap in your graveyard. I don't know. I'm going to guess banned.
Turns out that this card is not banned.
All right.
It does seem a little... Now, after some people listening, hey, they're going to say, hey, I play this in my...
Nobody listens to us plays Legacy.
There are a few Storm decks that play this. But it is, by and large, like a one of in those decks. And a lot of them have stopped playing it altogether. Yeah, you can do some broken things with it, but it's a 4-mana sorcery, and like
that's fair.
It requires enough setup that it's probably fine.
Okay.
So all right. 4-mana, too expensive. Should have thought of that.
I'm writing down our scores right now.
All right. Our second card is called Land Tax.
Okay.
It is a 1-mana white enchantment. At the beginning of each player's upkeep, if an opponent controls more lands than you, you can go search your deck for 3 basic lands and put them all in your hand.
Oh.
Jeez. I really don't know, you guys.
Me either.
Okay.
Read
it one more time.
One more time.
All right. It's a 1-mana white enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, if someone controls more lands than you, you can go through your deck and get three basics and put them all in your hand.
You guys, maybe if I just guess banned for every single one, I'll get some of them right.
There are some of these cards are banned and some of them are not banned.
So I can just guess banned the whole way through. I'm kidding.
And you will not get a zero.
I'm not going to get that.
Maybe there's cards that let you, like, destroy one of your lands so you can always be assured that you'll have fewer than your opponent and you just go crazy nuts.
But what are you going to do with all these lands in your hand?
Nothing, I guess. That's a good point.
I don't know. See, that's the thing that confuses me. Like, yep, this sounds like you're making some sort of trouble. This sounds like you're stirring up trouble. But I don't know what putting three lands in your hand is going to do for you.
Yeah, I suppose you can only play one a turn unless you have some card that lets you play more than one.
I'm going to guess unplayable.
Okay, I'll go banned.
All right. It was banned a long time ago, but it has since been unbanned and no one plays it.
Yes!
In original Magic, I think when people were still playing a lot of basic lands in their deck, it was really good because you'd go get three lands and then you wouldn't play any of them.
Yeah.
And you just start discarding them all and you'd be like, I'm getting all the lands out of my deck.
Yeah.
And
oh, I see.
Right? Because if I just don't play my land, I'll have fewer lands next turn too. But it got unbanned and no one really does much.
So everybody was like, oh, just kidding. I guess I didn't really like that card.
People thought it might be good, but... Also, people don't play basic lands very much. The cost of basic lands in Legacy is way too high. People don't really want to play.
What do you mean the cost? Oh, because
the duels are so good that like you really have to not play good cards if you want to play basics.
Okay.
All right. Card number three is called Mind Over Matter.
Okay.
This is a blue enchantment. It costs, I believe it is 4 blue and 2 or 3 blue and 2. It's one of the two. But,
checking.
All right. Well. Checking. Either way, it gives you this ability that it says you can discard a card from your hand to tap or untap target permanent.
That seems like not a great deal for me, unless it's some weird combo with something.
And it costs so much.
Yeah, it really costs a lot.
Oh. All right, I'm going to go with unplayable.
Me too, but I bet you it's banned. I just bet you it is.
Have some confidence, Maria. Have some confidence.
This card is banned.
Okay. I quit.
Of course it is.
So can you tell me, if it's a 6-mana card, like, so why would it be banned?
Because I'm sure you can do something real stupid with it.
Well, immediately, what do all your cards do? You can always tap or untap a land with it.
That's true.
You can pitch your entire hand to make mana equal to the number of cards. Anytime you have a card, you can make a mana right away.
That's pretty bonkers. Now think about that. Okay.
If you have, say, an artifact that taps for 2, now all your cards in your hand make 2 mana. Or my favorite one is there's a card called Temple Bell that you tap to make both players draw a card. So you can just draw a card, discard it to untap Temple Bell, draw a card, discard it to untap Temple Bell, draw a card. See what I mean? And then you just make... And then if you have some Eldrazi in your deck, you can shuffle up and you immediately make your opponent draw their entire deck. There's a bunch of really unfair things you can do. Basically, as soon as this card resolves, you win the game on the spot if you build your deck around it.
That's crazy.
Okay. Impressive.
Okay.
Impressive.
That sounds cool.
That's awesome.
All right. Card 4. This one's in the Moto Cube, if you played the Moto Cube ever.
This
one's called Tinker. It is a sorcery for 3 mana, 2 and a blue. When you play it, you have to sacrifice an artifact, but you can search your deck for any artifact and put it into play.
Banned.
Okay, you guys are both real fast on that. Tell me why it's banned.
I feel like there's a good artifact you can go get.
Yeah, I feel like you sack an artifact you're not using anymore, and you go get. You go get a real stupid artifact.
You don't know. It's one that probably wins the game, but you don't know how.
Like right then.
Like
right. Like I'm going to get myself an Emrakul.
Yeah, the he's end. Not an artifact.
He's not?
He's colorless, but he's not an artifact.
Oh, I thought all of the Eldrazi...
No, they're colorless, but they aren't robots.
What is their type is Eldrazi?
Yeah, their creature types.
Oh, okay. Eldrazi. Well, never mind.
This card is still banned. This one goes along with like Stoneforge Mystic. And cards that let you search up something and not pay for the something you searched up are generally just unfair, and you shouldn't print them. Some things they get are like Blightsteel Colossus. He's a 11/11 trample infect. Indestructible.
Seems good.
Yep, that seems good.
There's a bunch of things you get. All right, last card. Okay. This card is called the Winter Orb.
Okay.
It's a 2-mana artifact. And it says,
when it's cold out in Minnesota, I have 2 winter orbs.
She's talking about her boobs. Okay.
Just FYI.
Just in case anyone wasn't clear. Okay.
There's a static. It says, players can only untap 1 land per turn.
That sounds horrible.
It doesn't sound very fun, does it?
No, it does not sound fun.
Sounds awful.
They banned it because everyone was mad.
Because, yeah, not because it's good, but because everyone wanted to slap everyone else.
There were too many slap fights.
People, this card was from, it's really early, one of the really early sets. I played this back when I was really young because I liked griefing people. And I'd use Icy Manipulator to tap the 1 land you'd untapped. It was fun.
What a jerk!
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's a rule.
I just wanted to not let you play.
Did you ever go to confession for that kind of sin?
No, people just generally told me not to play that deck. If I wanted to play it, I didn't have anyone to play with.
Oh.
I'd have to build something else.
Wait, well, is that a hint that it's
unplayable? Very good at the kitchen table. That's what that means.
Hmm.
I don't know what that means about tournaments.
I'm gonna go with unplayable.
The only way that I can tie you, otherwise you just straight up win.
Yeah, I know.
All right, hit us.
Oh, wait, so you're going opposite. Maria's going banned and I'm going unplayable.
The card is not played. It is not banned. You can play Winter Orb if you want to. In Legacy, people generally don't have much more than 3 lands in play. So saying you can only untap 1 land
because the game is done on turn 3?
Yeah, everybody's playing. Remember, everybody's deck is full of cards that cost 1, 2, and 3. That's pretty much the only mana costs you play in Legacy. So untapping 1 land per turn, while annoying, is very manageable.
Interesting. I did not know that about Legacy.
Yeah.
It's a stupid format.
You don't have time to play 4. Like, if you want to play a 4 drop, it better be as
why
good
am
as
I
Jace.
Why am I playing a game that has to...
I mean, this even happens in Standard and, like, Draft to a certain point.
That's
as formats
true.
Get more powerful,
That's
you
true.
Just can't play the expensive stuff. Mm. I remember we did a team sealed. We had 18 boosters because we did the all 3 blocks of RTR. And our sealed decks were so good that we stopped playing anything that cost more than 4.
Wow.
And it seemed pretty correct.
Okay.
All right.
Well, listeners, nice. I hope you had a better record on this game than I did.
I just want to point out, I am the definitive winner of this game.
That's
Thank
true.
You. Thank you.
I'll give you a crown.
Thank you. I am looking forward to it.
Later.
I'm excited.
Before we go, let's talk about some cons of Tarkir.
Some what's of what?
Cons of Tarkir.
What's that?
It's the newest set that's coming out.
When?
In the fall.
September.
Yeah, September. This is a set that was codenamed Huey, and I speculated was an 80s band theme set.
Based on Huey Lewis in the News.
Correct.
I thought the next two sets were going to be William and Jensen.
We're going to start basing our sets around current Magic players.
Maybe that's what they're doing. I think it was actually named after the Ducks, right?
The next fall set will be Luis.
Yeah.
Then you'll just have to go off. You'll figure that out.
Huey, Louie, Huey.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's what I think it was.
It was Huey, Louie. No, what was it?
This is why I think it was a bad choice. It's because no one actually knows the order of them. It's Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. There we go.
But I really hope it's pro players from now on.
No, it's just Huey.
Only pro players with 3 or more names. So if they do one after
Louis, Scott, and Vargas.
If Paolo has one, it's going
to
be like
so five,
many sets.
It's going to be a 5 set expansion. It'll be great.
Perfect. Perfect. So the main things to note about Cons of Tarkir is that it is a different format than we've been seeing in that it is large, small, large in the set releases.
Whoa. Kind of like Innistrad, for those of you who played Innistrad.
Yeah, so Innistrad and Zendikar both worked that way, but they were different because your draft format, so like if you call the sets A, B, and C, you did AAA, and then you did AAB, and then you did CCC. So you
right.
know, it was like the third set was just its own thing.
Oh, is that not how this one's working?
No.
It is not.
How is this one working?
So this one, the first set is AAA, because, well, it has to be. The second one is a sheep. It's BAA, because that's what we do now when we get new sets. And the third set is CCB.
So A's just gone?
What? A's gone, because you still get... So whenever you have a... I think that's one of the new things they're doing, like... Well, maybe that's not. I would say when you have... Yeah, you still get 2 boosters of your big set, but B is... Like
CCB?
CCB is the third
that's
set.
That's bizarre. So we're going to go from going it's, from B first... to two C's and a B. Yeah. It's like a weird triple boobs.
No, it's not like that at all.
Megan, you know if I don't talk about boobs at least three times in a show, I turn to dust.
I know.
I'm at two times right now. All right. Let's hope I get a third one in before the end of the show if you don't want to vacuum me up.
All right.
Anyway, I don't know if I'm going to be able to say goodbye to this A set so quickly.
Yeah, are you going to...
That's what he said. three times, okay.
But you'll get to play it twice.
Yes, yeah.
That's as many times as you played RTR.
Really?
You
know. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, because you played it once, true. Not at all, and then again.
Oh, God. Something else interesting about Cons of Tarkir is that it was created, first and foremost, to be a limited set.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm really excited about that personally.
That'll be exciting.
I'm a big limited person.
It'll be a fun town.
Fun town.
Although, so far, they've only spoiled one card, and it is three colors.
And it is my favorite card of all time.
And I'm like, bros, if you think I'm drafting a three-color deck ever...
They're going to have to help you if they want you to draft three
colors.
Yeah,
they really are.
Shards of Alara was the last one where they wanted you to draft three-color sets, and they gave you a bunch of mana fixing common.
I'm okay with that.
So Wizard says, quote, the draft structure is the first thing from which this set was built. So that it makes me very happy.
Very cool. Tell us about this dude that we've seen. Sure. Tell us about this stuff.
They also said there's a time-traveling element, FYI. I don't know what the fuck that means.
Yeah, who knows?
There you go. Okay, so the guy they spoiled is the Hell Smasher. Somebody help Zergo Hellsmasher. He's a 7/2. He is indestructible, but only when it is your turn. He must attack every turn if able. So I forget his casting cost, but he is the colors.
It's like five.
Yeah, red, white, black. And that is, there are five different warring clans on Tarkir, and that is the Mardu Horde. Red, white, black. Their deal is speed, of course. Their symbol is Wings of the Dragon. So they each worship a different kind of part of a dragon, I guess.
They each worship a different part of a dragon?
Yeah, I don't know where the penis house is, but maybe we'll see that.
What part of a dragon does your con worship? I mean, my con is all about dragon tails, and I'm like, meh.
That was a series on PBS.
Oh, yeah, it totally was.
So we have these weird, crazy names for these wedges, which is three colors.
By crazy names, you mean pretty terrible names.
I hate these names.
They're pretty bad.
Are we supposed to use these names now when these are decks after this set?
I think so. That's the idea.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, all right. Here we go. White, black, green, Abzan.
House. So it's not junk anymore. It's Abzan.
Oh. I want to say junk.
You can still say junk.
Okay. Their deal is scales, and their aspect is endurance. So they like dragon scales, apparently.
Weird.
Blue, red, white. This is Jeskai, the Jeskai Way. Their deal is they like dragon eyes. And they're cunning.
This is... Okay, sorry. Keep going.
And as Mardu, I mentioned them. Sultai is a brood, and they are black, green, blue. They like dragon fangs. Ruthlessness is their deal. Mm-hmm. Temur... Frontier, the Temur Frontier. Green, blue, red. They like dragon claws. And they're savage. So.
I mean, I get it. I see what they did there. Yeah. See what they did.
So each clan will have its own mechanic. And also, somebody's coming back for this, you guys. Morph! Who's excited?
Morph's okay. I am interested to see what they do with it. It's kind of confusing to draft with Morph.
The one thing you should make sure
if you're drafting with Morph is that at the end of the game, any game, your opponent, say you concede and I have some unmorphed Morphs in play, at the end of the game I have to flip all my Morphs face
up. Yeah, we talked about this on the show, I think.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, the idea is that it's kind of to prove that I wasn't cheating when I played them.
Yeah. That makes sense. Weird.
Yeah. Because technically you don't know that they're Morphs. But it doesn't mean your opponent gets to see your tricks. When the game's over.
Yeah.
Right. Weird.
Weird. I feel like it's a little bit like you need to know all the tricks in a set in each color. Like, okay, now I'm gonna have to know all of the morph cards.
What do you think this morph is sitting out here?
Exactly. Like you're gonna have to know kind of what each morph is. So I guess I'm always frustrated when I have to consider combat tricks. I'm like,
Well, now it's even more annoying because of Convoke.
Yeah, that's true.
So what's more annoying, Convoke or Morph?
I think Convoke. Because Morph, at least the card is on the table. Yeah. You're like, there is a Morph
it's
card.
It's like monstrous.
It's going to do something to me.
I didn't think they were going to bring Morph back, so I'm a little surprised that we have it. But it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Why did you not think that they would bring it back?
It's a lot of complexity to put on the board at one time. And I'm not, so like just from a design standpoint, like it really, having a Morph creature really makes the game board, the game a lot more complicated. Because suddenly there's like 20 things it could be.
Yeah.
And especially if I have like two Morphs, now you have to keep track of which one's which, blah, 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 blah. Kind of annoying. And I just didn't think it was worth the upside, but...
Well,
they have decided it is.
There it is.
There you go.
And also, at the pre-release, you will not just be picking a color based on a single promo. There'll be 8 possible promo cards you can receive when you choose your color.
Ooh.
So they're trying to, I think, hedge their bets a little bit with some people who are upset at the fact that certain colors' promo cards were so strong. I.e. black and M15, and some were just really shitty, like blues.
I am going to say...
Blues was awesome.
You're never going to make...
you could cast it with islands.
Okay,
that's true. I feel like they're never going to make everybody happy with that, but what are you going to do?
Well, they could just not have promo cards anymore.
I mean, I liked what they did with... I feel like, again, it was very... It fit into, like, the RTR and the gate crash, where you picked a guild... And then you got the seated. You just got a seated booster. It wasn't like you're gonna definitely get this card.
Yeah.
No, you got a card too.
You did.
Yeah.
What
like Rakdos gave
get?
You Carnival Health. Deed.
8 per clan, so you do choose
you
your clan at pre-release. Okay.
I didn't remember that. Yeah. Well, it wasn't that important then.
So I'm gonna definitely.
Some were good.
Bardu,
all the Celestia decks had that one land that makes the 8/8.
What?
Yeah. For real.
Okay, I didn't play. To be fair, I didn't play the RTR pre-release. That's what you're talking
okay.
about. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
so,
never mind then.
Cool.
I wish they gave us playable when they first started doing pre-release cards, they gave us super constructed playable ones.
Like, when Emrakul came out, wasn't
he
it
was
like
Emrakul? Emrakul was the pre-release. Like, there was a, was it in a row, we had like Emrakul and then Hero of Blade Hold, or Wormcoil Engine, Hero of Blade Hold. These
Blade
were all in
Hole?
A row. Blade Hold.
Oh.
It was like, it was a card that was
Calm
very,
down,
very playable. And it was like, it was a great card.
Yeah. And now they just give you sort of like a
random,
like a limited,
some,
like a good
some
limited
dragon.
Card.
Yeah.
Some dragon.
Some
just
dragon.
Some dragon.
It's like, you know, I think a good example would be they might have made a card like Bramaz into a pre-release card in the past.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe not the choicest
that
card.
That would have been sweet.
But something, you know, maybe not the choice card of the set, but something that's like very... Like,
we'll
they might have
see.
Made Court of Calling the one out of M15.
Yeah.
Something
or like
that.
Sweet. That's, I mean, that's...
Well, cons, you guys. That's, we'll keep you updated on how things shake out. But September, get ready for all that action. In your pants. And at your magic store.
Yeah, mostly your magic store. We don't know about your personal life. You do what you want.
I know about their personal lives.
You do?
Yep.
Weird.
Everybody, that's our show for this week. Thanks for listening, as always. Come up and say hi to us if you see us at GP Portland. We would love to, you know, give you a good luck high five. Or, you know, give you a Magic the Amateuring card. I have a few.
Yeah. Wait, going back to cons for a second. Is this a blue card in the dual deck?
Arcanus? We don't know.
He's
in the dual deck. We don't know if he's in cons.
Yeah, that card is insane.
Never mind.
He's a reprint, actually.
Oh.
But he's really... I mean, he has tapped... Draw 3 cards on him, so that's pretty sweet.
That's already sweet.
It's a good ability.
All right. Anyways, let's keep going.
Right. Detour, come up and say hi, GP Portland. We would love to meet you. We love talking to people who listen to the show because you guys are all the best. If you want to listen to the show on a reg basis, on the regs, you can subscribe on iTunes. Magic. It'll come to your phone every week, like magic. Or you can subscribe on Stitcher Radio. That's an app you can download, and it'll push our podcast every time we have a new episode. Right to your phone. You guys, modern technology. You can also go to magicTheAmateuring.com. An episode is posted there every Monday for you, as well as themeetery.org. Follow us on Twitter at MTAcast if you want the immediate haps of when the episodes go live, when we're doing new fun things, or maybe you want to check in how we're doing at GP Portland. We'll let you know.
Yeah. And Matthias, if our listeners wanted to check in with you sometime, where would they find you?
Well, I'll also be at GP Portland. I'm also at a ton of the Star City Games opens, and you can always come by the booth and say hi. I always love talking to people.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And you're on Twitter at MTGMathias.
I am on Twitter and, yes, at MTGMathias.
Great.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
And listeners, hopefully we'll see you in Portland.
Bye, dudes.
Bye.
And dudettes.